Shabbat Shalom, everyone. I'm Samuel Raven Ethan Hawkins. I'd like to serve forever as a pre-star very soon. Now it's time to start 5 seats for Sabbath services. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Son of Israel Abel, Neon Hawkins, and I would like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's my privilege and an honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Israel Abel now entering sanctuary. Now I'd like to present to you one of the sons of Yishuv Abel, Nebaiah Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech today is "The Wicked." None of the wicked will understand. You can turn in your books of Yahweh to Daniel. It's on page 684. Page 684. Daniel 12, verse 9 and 10. And it says, "But he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified and made white and tried, tested, but the wicked will do wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand, but the wise will understand." In the 10th book of Israel, on page 235, it's verse 62, and he says, "But he says, and tried, that they'll be made white and tried." Well, that's what we see. That's what we have seen in this 40-something years in the wilderness. But the wicked will do wickedly. Now, why would he say that? Why would he say here that the wicked are going to go ahead and do their wickedness? They won't repent, and none of the wicked will understand. They won't understand. You can turn over to page 498 in your books of Yahweh, page 498. It's Proverbs 4, verse 19, and it says, "The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble." And go up to verse 14, and it says, "Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in their evil way." So it's saying there that the way of the wicked is evil. You can also turn to page 502 in your book, Yahweh. It's Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11, verse 5. It says, "The righteousness of the perfect will direct his way, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness." In the 8th book of Israel, on page 85, and I'm going to be reading verse 54. He says, "But if the wicked will turn from all his sins," so this means wickedness is sin. Sin is the breaking of the laws of Yahweh that he has committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful. In other words, keeping his laws and right, then he will surely live. Then he will surely live. The wicked are those who practice sin, who break the laws of Yahweh. So we must repent and turn to Yahweh in order to have eternal life, in order to have life. Remember back in the days of Noah. If you can turn to page 5 in your books of Yahweh. Turn to page 5. Genesis 6, verse 5. And it says, "Then Yahweh saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intent and thought of man's heart was only evil continually." So you see that back in the days of Noah, the sin was abounding. If you can also turn over to page 753. It's Matthew 24, verse 37 and 30-39. "But just as in the days of Noah were, so will also be the coming of the Son of Man. For just as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, while given in marriage until the day that Noah went to the ark, and did not know until the flood came and swept them away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man." Just like in the days of Noah, the wickedness is great in the earth. It has reached its peak in these last days. You can turn to page 480. Turn to page 480 in your books of Yahweh. It's Psalms 111, verse 10. And it says, "The reverence of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. A great understanding have all they who do your laws. Your praise endures forever." We want to understand, and we don't want to be like the wicked. You can turn to 2 Kefa. Turn to 2 Kefa. 2 Kefa 3, verse 14 and 17 through 18. It's on page 963. And it says, "Therefore, beloved, since you are looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him." And verse 17 says, "You therefore, beloved, since you know these things beforehand, beware that none of you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in truth and in the knowledge of Yahweh and of our Savior, Yeshua Messiah. To Yahweh belongs the glory, both now and forever. Hallelujah, Yahweh." So in conclusion, I'd like to encourage you to keep increasing your storehouse of knowledge. Don't be deceived by those who practice sin. Continue to study the words of Yisrael Hawkins so you can be wise. Then we will inherit the positions that Yahweh has waiting for us. Remember Daniel 12, verse 3. "And those who are wise and those who teach will shine as the brightness of the heavens, and those who turn men into righteousness as stars forever and ever." And now if y'all please stand.
And now I have the honor and privilege to turn it over to one of the sons of Yisrael Abel, Deacon Shlomo.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today I'm going to be talking about we should all strive to become a leader like the apostles, prophets, Yahshua, and our great overseer, Yisrael Hawkins. Now the definition for the word lead from the Webster's New Riverside Dictionary means a person or things that lead, and lead means to direct by influence, to be the head of, to direct by influence, or to be the head of. And you can see there, if you remember the quote, "Actions speak louder than words and they get to Yahweh first." This tells us that by our example, we are leading people to do things. If you have your character unit, if you turn to page 126, it says leaders. Leaders are not defined by age, gender, or nationality. If you remember King Yeshaya in the scriptures, he was leading at 8 years of age. Leaders are simply people who possess qualities and skills that motivate and encourage others towards specific goals. Leaders can be found in all areas of our society. There are religious leaders, governmental leaders, community leaders, political leaders, and even gang leaders. Some leaders are responsible for an entire country, while others are responsible for a small city. And if you remember, leaders over 10, 50, 100, things like that. Some leaders have a lifetime position in the office they are chosen to govern, while others are only there for a specified time. So there's leaders everywhere. There's leaders all around the world today. Positive leaders, this is on page 127, on the other hand, are people of integrity. Remember, integrity is the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles, which is the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. Strong moral principles. The state of whole and undivided. Remember the whole law of Yahweh. Because remember, Jacob said, if you break one law, you break them all. So it's the state of being whole, undivided. And that's through the laws of Yahweh and the Peaceful Solution. They maintain and demonstrate their positive moral character consistently through their beliefs, attitudes, and actions. They motivate others to attain positive moral character and to strive towards excellence in all areas of their lives. In addition to this, positive leadership will result in a ripple effect that will be advantageous not only to the individual, but to a society as a whole. So positive leaders will show through their actions and attitude that they're practicing positive moral character traits. Now I have some examples that we should all strive to follow. The first one, if you turn to Acts 14, these are positive leaders in the scriptures. Acts 14, it's on page 856, verse 19 through 22. It says, then Yaraim from Antioch and Iconium came to Lycaonia, and having convinced the people, they stoned Shaul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, as the disciples stood around him, he rose up, came into the city, and the next day he left with Barnabas, going to Derbe. And when they had preached the message to that city, they had taught many, they returned to Lystra, to Iconium, and to Antioch. They strengthened the minds of the disciples and exhorted them to remain firm in the faith that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. So he's telling you there that through these trials, these tests, we may fall, but we get back up. And you could see there he was a positive leader because he strengthened the minds of the people. He exhorted them to remain firm in the faith through much tribulation, because if you remain strong, you will enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. If you turn to 2 Corinthians, he gives a couple things that he went through preaching the message of Yahweh. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 23, it's on page 907. Verse 23 says, are they ministers of Messiah? I am out of my mind to speak this way. I am more of one in laboring more abundantly, in prisons more abundantly, in beatings excessively, exposed to death many times. From the Yaraim, on 5 occasions, I received 40 lashes minus one. And what is 40 minus 1? 39. Remember that number, 39. Three times I have been beaten with the rod. Once I was stoned. Three times shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the sea. On many journeys, risking dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my people, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the open country, dangers at sea, dangers among false brothers, in weariness and toil, often in sleepness and hunger and thirst, in fastings, often in cold and nakedness. All right, so you can see there all the things that he went through preaching the message of Yahweh, because the people hate the message of Yahweh. If you remember another account, it's in Acts 7. Now this is with Deacon Stephen on page 847. 847. It's Acts 7 verse 54 through 60. It says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gritted their teeth with rage. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of Yahweh with Yahshua on the right hand of Yahweh, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of Yahweh. And how he saw this is he saw this through prophecy. He saw this through prophecy. Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of Yahweh. Then they cried out with a loud voice, put their hands over their ears, and ran upon him with one accord. They drove him out of the city and stoned him. Now the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man whose name was Shaul. And they stoned Stephen, who was calling upon Yahweh and saying, Savior Yahweh, receive my spirit. Then he kneeled down, cried with a loud voice, Yahweh, do not hold them responsible for this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. So you can see there, his mind was on Yahweh. Through his tests and trials, his mind was on Yahweh. Another great account is with our overseer, Yishel Hawkins. But I'd like to read something first out of the 7-2009 prophetic word. It says, for a Hebrew man who reverenced Yahweh, it would be the ultimate degradation to be forced to have his nakedness exposed. But this is exactly what the Romans deliberately did to Yahshua and everyone else whom they executed on the stake. They wanted it made clear that those they killed were nothing more than commoners. And what better way than to humiliate them by exposing their nakedness for all to see. This is the humiliation that Yahshua suffered while on the stake. So they know that when a Hebrew person has their nakedness exposed, they knew it's the ultimate degradation. They know it's very embarrassing. All right, and they did this to humiliate the person, especially Hebrew people. But the account with our great overseer, Yishel Hawkins, this is the article, Hawkins Released from Jail. It says, District Judge John Weeks reduced the bail on each charge from $2.5 billion to $25,000, dropping the total bail amount to $100,000. Young had previously said the bail set for Hawkins was ridiculously high and that serious murder cases did not have bail set as high. The bail reduction was great news to Young. So you can see there that even for a person who would commit mass murders and they didn't even have bail set that high as what they would give someone who was preaching the message of Yahweh. But even through that, our great overseer still rejoiced in his trials and tests. Praise Yahweh. It says, Hawkins, dressed in an orange jumpsuit, smiled as he entered the full courtroom. And you can see here, You can see there he's smiling through his trials and tests. It says many of the audience members stood as he entered with his hands, palms forward, raised to his shoulders. He bowed, and a number of people in the room replied with raised hands and bowing. During the hearing, the defense called a string of people to testify, including Hawkins himself. Many of the witnesses were House of Yahweh members, including a Dyess Air Force pediatrician and an officer of the French Robertson unit. Most said they had not experienced anything that would make them think Hawkins posed danger to his followers or would flee if he was released, adding that Hawkins had preached the importance of following the laws. So they're showing you there, even the reporter himself said that Hawkins was rejoicing, and also he preached the importance of following the laws, Yahweh's laws. So you see, we have to rejoice and we have to strive to become like these positive leaders. In conclusion, we should all strive to become like these people, and we will become strong. If we strive, we will become strong leaders in Yahweh's great house. And with that, if everyone will please stand. I'd like to turn it over to the great Kohen, Benjamin Krause Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, saints of Yahweh. Shalom. Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. Another awesome Sabbath day. Get everything situated here. Today, we could just call this the Book of Numbers, chapter 13. Okay? Because we're going to be talking about the number 13. And this is kind of a last minute thing, or maybe a 7 day ago thing. Pastor mentioned that number in his last sermon. And if you could show the first slide, please. While we're waiting, I guess for the first slide, I'm going to go ahead and put it up here. That way you can see it here. This is the benefit of having the slides on paper, by the way. I've noticed it's very handy. Now, right after the last sermon I gave, I went out, it was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. I went out to my car to go to the Buffalette, of course, to get that wonderful food. And that was what was on my odometer. Those numbers, 18, 28, 17. Now, y'all know the significance of the number 17 and the number 28, right? By the way, may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. 17, 28, 18. That was on 4, 11, 15. And if you add up the 4, the 1, 1, the 1, 5, and all the numbers on that odometer, it comes out to 39. 39, which is 13 times 3. Okay? Keep that in your mind. Put the next slide up here. Last week, when Pastor spoke, was the 18th. There's your 18 on the odometer. And it was the 13th day of the Omar when he mentioned that number 13. And he told me I should be jumping out of my chair at that time. And of course I was. Okay? Because he had to have known what I was looking at in the book of Israel. Okay? Had to have known it. Now, this was Omer 13, and of course, if you add up 13 and 18, that's 31, which is 13 backwards, but you have, the Omer was 13, it says conjunction for the moon was 157, if you add that up, it's 13, and the 1 plus 8 plus 1 plus 3 is 13, so everything on that day was adding up to 13. Okay, now, what he must have known. Now, in this new, the new book of Israel, which are totally inspired by Yahweh, Sin Never Again, which has 13 letters, right? In this book, the first 17 chapters are sermons from the first part of 2014, the first 17. The last 8 are devoted to this Plan Genealogies of the Kingdom series. Okay? The first chapter of that series of course, would be chapter 18, right? Now, when I got to the 17th chapter and I was finished with them, I put the book aside for a little while because I had other things to read. And I thought, well, you know, we're getting into the genealogy series. I'm probably not going to find a lot there. I'm going to go read some other stuff. Well, I got news for you. If you notice, the date, 615, y'all remember that from the feast, right? 615 up there on the double rainbow. And of course, 96, we know the work we've done with that number. But now, in Pastor's 418 sermon, it was the 18th day of the month. And now you remember the work we've been doing on that word power, right? 512, power, Revelation 512. Y'all remember that, right? And likeness and all that other stuff. Well, lo and behold, in the 13th verse, 18:13, remember 18th day of the month, 13th Omar, Pastor says in Romans 8:11, there's the same chapter. It says, and if the spirit of him who raised Yahshua from the dead, and notice this is the spirit, that's where the power comes. Raised Yahshua from the dead is living in you, which it should be living in you right now. And you should be praying daily for more. You know, remember when Yahshua said, pray for your daily bread, do you think he was talking about just food? Doesn't he know that we need these things? Remember he said in Matithiah 6:11, actually Luke chapter 12, verse 23, he said, is not life more than the bread and clothing? You know, Matthew 4:4 said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. And Pastor says we need to be praying for this daily, this bread, this spirit holy. Actually, if you'll also turn, just write this down for your notes, Luke 11:13 says, how much more will your Father give you spirit holy if you ask him? Right? But you got to ask. You got to be asking for these things daily. And that's what Pastor's saying. That's the spirit. That's where the power comes from. Also, remember what spirit means. Just write these down. Yochanan 6:63. The laws that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life everlasting. And Romans 7:14 that says the law is spiritual. So that's the 13th verse. Do we have the slideshow ready yet? Okay, so verse 14, let's read this together. We got just a small substance of the Spirit of Yahweh coming to us at this time. And I don't know how else to describe this, but maybe like water coming into your home through a pipeline or electricity to make them work. It's similar to that because it is power. And the only power you're getting from it right now is in helping you to overcome. Yahweh shows and helping you to study, opening your mind to understanding and things like this. And that was the very start of it, is opening your mind to understanding. But that spirit is dwelling in you, a very small substance of it, and it has great power. It has tremendous power that Yahweh uses himself. It's the same power that he uses himself in carrying out his will. Next slide, verse 15. And if the spirit of him who raised Yahshua from the dead is living in you, it's not a being now, but it's a power and a source of power for you that will continue to grow as you continually grow spiritually in Yahweh's laws. And it depends on the switches, get this, it depends on the switches that you throw in overcoming obstacles to his laws as to how much power you're going to receive and to how this will increase in your body. Next slide. Verse 16, he who raised Yahshua from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. You can write for your notes, Yochanan 17:2. Matter of fact, let's go there real quick. Yochanan 17:2. I'll give you a page number. It's page 834. Yochanan 17:2. Yahshua says, as you have given him power over all flesh, that he might give eternal life to as many as you have given him. You know, this, remember, Satan lost the ability in Genesis 3:14. The ability was taken to create and maintain flesh. But you, brethren and sisters, the house of Yahweh, are going to be given this power. You are going to have the power to raise the dead. Okay, this power of life is going to be given to you, to those who overcome. It says, now it's speaking as if Yahweh himself is going to do this, but then we'll see in other scriptures that it's not so. He's going to work through the people and giving the ability to resurrect the dead, as we'll see this plainly in other scriptures. Of course, it's coming from Yahweh, and the power will continually be in his control until he gives that same power to the priesthood, the 144,000 priestly kings, and to their remnants, and each one receiving as his works have been or as he has overcome. And he, so I said, throw the switches. That says, as he so, as I said, throw the switches in your minds to overcome your obstacles to keeping Yahweh's laws. Verse 17, next slide. By his spirit, which lives in you. If you'll turn over to Corinthians, all this has to go in your mind according to scriptures showing the resurrection and the spirit power. And then we'll go into seeing how to receive this and how the same thing was actually promised to Abraham thousands of years ago for you and the priesthood. Next slide, verse 18. And this is the final verse. By the way, he only spoke of this in verses 13 through 18. Amazing, right? In 1 Corinthians 15, start here with verse 21. For since death comes by man, now get this, by man. You see those words? Death came by man. Well, so is the resurrection going to come by man. Okay? Yes, you can clap for that. You should look forward to this. And life is going to come by man. Life. But of course, man has got to overcome like Yahshua did, but it's preordained that they will overcome. That they will be guided as Abraham was guided. Remember through the Genesis 17? Walk in my ways and become perfect, he said. Genesis 17. Okay, now, also for your notes, write Yochanan 5:26 through 28. And that's where Yahshua shows the resurrection and shows that by man this is going to take place. If you can go to the next slide. Remember the picture that was taken on 3/31, 2015 at 5:12 p.m., denoting that power. Remember, we only have 17 days. Today's the 20th Omar, right? 17 days left till the 37th Omar. Interesting? 5:12. 5:12 is 17. Now, go to the next slide, please. There's another face in there I didn't show you last time, and I'm going to kind of go over that. I'm going to skip it now because of time's sake. But this picture here is denoting that power that's going to be given to those who overcome. You can see Pastor up there in the corner, the left, I guess the, I don't know if that's the, I don't know, I'm looking at that, this here, but it'd be to the right here. And then the left, you see another face who has that Hawkins nose. And by the way, in the next chapter on verse 18, he talked about the Hawkins nose. Okay? And how we have the Hawkins nose because we keep it out of other people's business, he said. That's why we got noses the way we have. Okay, go to the next slide. The number 13. You know, 13 has got a bad rap, doesn't it? But, you know, 13 is the number that bonds many into one. For instance, Yahshua had 12 disciples, but Yahshua was the leader. He was the 13th. He was the one that kept it all together. The 12 disciples, he had 12 apostles, remember? But there was a 13th. Who was that? The apostle Shaul. He was the one that got the 39 lashes, remember? From the Jews or the Yadim. Then you had the 12 tribes, but you had two half-tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, right? So technically, did you not have 13? We have 12 months on our calendar, but we have 13 months during leap years, right? Or during what they call leap year on the Hebrew calendar. Go to the next slide, please. In the world, there's what's called superstition, okay? And superstition, that means a belief or notion not based on reason or knowledge. And then the second says a system or collection of such beliefs. Doesn't that sound like Catholicism and Christianity? None of it's based on knowledge. None of it's based on any reason. Okay? And it's any blindly accepted belief. which the world blindly accepts. They accept all these things about, by the way, there's a fear of Friday the 13th. You know why? Because there was 13 people at the supper, and it was on a Friday, they said. Well, no, it was not on a Friday. It was on a Wednesday. Well, actually, it would have been a Tuesday, right? Tuesday night, the 14th. So I guess maybe, well, I better not tell them. They'll start using that one. And then, of course, we know Friday is the sixth day of the week, right? And it's if it's Friday the sixth day and it's the 13th, we got 613, don't we? Isn't that wonderful? Did you know that a fear of Friday the 13th is called Frigga Trisk Adika Phobia? Frigga is the goddess Friday, where the name Friday come from. Trisk or tri is three. Adika is 10, like deca, and phobia, okay? Did you know also there's a, I got to show you this. There's a word they use for fear of long words, like the one I just pronounced. Here's the word. Hippopotamonstriosis equipodolophobia. That's the fear of long words. That is not a joke. It's 36 letters long. Okay, now, of course, everything in Christianity and Catholicism is totally foolish. Can we go to the next slide? The number 13 is the sixth prime number on the prime number chart. Remember, prime numbers are only divisible by one or their self. So you have 613, right? Helps you to remember. Go to the next slide. The number 13, I'm going to read something to you from the page 13 of Why the Holy Garments. It says, the remembrance of Yahweh. It says, the zitzit, the twists remind us of Yahweh's name, Yahweh's laws, and Yahweh's unity with the people who will obey him completely. 10 is the numerical equivalent of Yod, the first letter of Yahweh's name. 5 is equivalent to He. 6 to Wah, 5 to Hey, or 10, 5, 6, 5, which adds to 26, which is 13 times 2. The word zitzit has 600 in the equivalent of the words, and 8 threads and 5 knots on the zitzit. This number comes to 613, which when we look upon it, when we consider these, when we look upon them, that's what that word means. We remember Yahweh's laws not to go whoring after the gods, not to follow our own heart and mind like we used to before we came to the house of Yahweh. It says also the 5 knots and 8 threads, this adds to the number 13. 13 is equivalent to the Hebrew word akad, alaf, chet, dalet, which means one or unity. So to look at the zitzit is to remember and know Yahweh is a unity. Yahweh is a unity. That word unity is equivalent to 13. We go to the next slide. Next slide. Okay, here's a picture of the. I got to tell you. Also, remember Yahweh's 13 attributes. Did you know that's Exodus 34:6, which adds to 13? Okay, that's where it starts, and it's verses 6 and 7, which is 13. Okay. I don't want to go there. I don't have time to go there, but let's look at this slide. Now, this is the wife from Why the Holy Garments. It shows the 10, 5, 6, 5 and the tying of the knot, the knots and the threads. Okay, now, that totals 26, the Yod, Heh, Wah, Heh, as I said before. And Akkad at the bottom, it says, means one or unity. Did you know, by the way, the 26th verse in the book of Yahweh says, I will make man in my image, right? The 26th verse of the scripture. Remember, Yahweh is 26. Go to the next picture, please. Next slide. This picture was taken in Laredo, Texas on 4/19, but the events that set this in motion began on 4/18. Exactly 3 years to the date from Pastor spoke last week. And if y'all remember, I gave a sermon on that at Pentecost of 2012, showing the number 26 in the sky. Does everybody remember that? Of course, you know, it didn't really make much sense to me other than what I knew about Judge Hale and the 26s that kept coming up there and the 26 days that we piloted the Peaceful Solution prison or the program. But now it makes more sense, right? The 26, who is that denoting? Yahweh. Go to the next slide, please. Okay, the gematria or the gematria of Akkad, here's the letters, and it shows it totals 13. It means one or unity. Remember Deuteronomy 6:4, Yahweh is our Father, Yahweh is one. That word one there is that word Akkad, and it means totals 13. But also the word love. The gematria of Ahava in Hebrew, the Hebrew word for love, is 13. Okay? Remember, Yahweh is love. Is he not? And Yahweh is a unity, right? Go to the next slide. So Yahweh equals 26, and Akkad unity is 13. So if you were to say Yahweh is 1, that would add up to 39, okay? Which is 13 times 3. 13, remember, unity and love and so on and so forth, but also times 3, that number 3 means complete, remember? Okay, now, Deuteronomy 6:4 is where it says, Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our Father, Yahweh is one, and you must love Yahweh your Father with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Ahava, the word love, is 13, and Yahweh is love. You can find that in 1 Chronicles 4:8. By the way, turn over to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. There's so much on this, it is mind-blowing, okay? But 1 Corinthians 13, if you'll notice, it's called the love chapter. Love in the house of Yahweh. And how many verses is it? It's 13 verses. 13, 13, 26. Remember Yahweh. Yahweh is love, okay? These things are not an accident. And remember, one of the verses here actually also says in verse 7, says, Love does not betray, it believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Remember that word endure, okay? So here's a fact. There's 39 books in the first book of Yahweh. 39 books. That's 13 times 3, right? But there's 27 books in what's called book 2. That's 3 times 9. So that's 39 again, right? 66 books in total. Can we go to the next slide? Oh, wait, hold on. Zephaniah 3:9. Let's turn over there. Zephaniah 3:9. I'll give you a page number. It's on page 713. 713, right? Zephaniah 3:9. Yes, at that time I will return to the people the pure word, the law and the prophets, so that all men may call on the name of Yahweh and serve him with one accord or unity. Now let's turn over to Zechariah, just a few pages over in chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14, verse on page 723. And let's look at verse 9. It says, And Yahweh will be king over all the earth. In that day, Yahweh will prove to be a unity and his name one. Okay? Now let's go to Matthias 16:18, just a few pages over. Matthias 16:18, talking about unity. Yahweh is a unity. 16:18, on page 744. It says, And I also say to you who are Kepha, whose name means rock, that upon this rock, Yahweh unity, I will build this house, family, the house of Yahweh, and the gates of Sheol, the grave, will not prevail against it. Okay? And Ephesians 4:13, let's turn over to Ephesians 4:13. I'll give you a page number. Ephesians 4:13. These 13 should help remind you of where these are. Chapter 4, if you notice on page 918, it says, Yahweh is one is the subtitle. In verse 13, it says, Until we all come to the same unity of the faith and of the same knowledge the Son of Yahweh has, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness, perfection of the Messiah. You know, Aleph and Tau, go to Revelation chapter 1 real quick. Aleph and Tau, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and Tau is the 22nd letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Turn over to Revelation chapter 1 where it talks about this. Aleph and Tau. I know I'm moving rapidly. I have to. But look at verse 8. Revelation 1:8 says, I am the Aleph and the Tau, the beginning and the end, says Yahweh, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. And as I said, Aleph is the first letter, number 1, denotes 1. And Tau is the 22nd, and that's the Hebrew, the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and it's 22. So he says it in Revelation 1 here. Notice it's kind of strange, right, that there's 22 chapters in the book of Revelation, right? 22 chapters. Also, if you look at the, I believe it's the last verse of Genesis. Remember, he says, I'm the first and the last. If you look at the last verse of chapter 1 in Genesis, there's 31 verses. In the last chapter of Revelation, there's 20, I can't see through all my notes. Can somebody tell me? Is there 20, 21? 31 and 21 is 52, which is 13 times 4. For your notes. Let's go to the next slide, please. Now, this is from this wonderful book, The Lost Faith of the Apostles and Prophets. Okay? Pastor says on page 51, which is 17 times 3, he says the word translated love in Revelation 2:19 is word number what? 26. In Strong's Greek, and it means agape, the word agape comes from word 25, and it says to love in a social or moral sense, and 26, agape, meaning a love feast, the feast of love, the feast of charity, dear, love. And it means the judgment and the deliberate assent. It says the word agape means love feast that is practiced because of the judgment. Remember, judgment begins where? First Kefa 4:17, right here at the house of Yahweh, by the deliberate assent of the will. That means we must choose this unity. We must choose to come to the feast. We must choose to work together, consider one another, working together to come to this perfection. Even as Yahshua, voluntary service. As a matter of principle, duty and propriety. That word propriety means right of ownership, okay? If you're a proprietor, you have the right of ownership. The only way you can own this is by doing these things. To have this inheritance, you must do these things. Now, this is from page 51. Can we go to the next slide? That was in the Greek, by the way, the number 26. Here's what 26 is in the Hebrew. It means, it's the word Abigail, and it means my father is joy. And it's from 1524. Can we go to the next slide? 1524 means a rejoicing, and it's from 1523, if we can go to the next slide, and it means to rejoice, to exult, to be glad. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? No, this is number 26 in the Hebrew. Can we go to the next slide? Okay, so let me make sure I'm not getting ahead of myself, because sometimes, you know, I'm such high gear. I leave here and I'm like, man, I forgot to say this or I forgot to say that. Of course, it's all inspired. You know, maybe it wasn't meant to be said. Okay, so today's the 25th, right? And it's the 20th day of the Omar, right? Can we have this? We have that slide? Okay, it's up there. Oh, I can see the monitor now. But it's kind of shaky, but I can see it. So it's the 25th. Day and the 20th of the Omar, okay? So, lo and behold, in this wonderful book, the 14th book again, there's 25 chapters in this book. There's only 25. It ends at chapter 25. Now, so I got to thinking, wow, there's 25. That must be a coincidence, right? So let's go to verse 20 and see what it says. Can we go to the next slide? Let's read it together. This is chapter 25, the last chapter, Plan Genealogies. It's from 4597, which adds to 25. And it says, and you know, this is why it comes as such a big surprise to me that the world thinks people are idiots. They want to bring this out right now about the UFOs to make you think that everything that's being shown to you in the house of Yahweh or comes from your scriptures about UFOs, you know, you got to be some kind of nut that's wanting to commit suicide. And that, and he says, this article in Newsweek, that was the time that Newsweek article came out about the house of Yahweh, that was what it was for, to try to make you think that, next slide, the house of Yahweh is sick. There's sick people in all 39 of you. Now, I asked Pastor yesterday, I said, Pastor, 39? I came in 1998, and there was more than 39 people here, right? Isn't that not incredible that he would use that number right there? And I still haven't got an answer from him. He's still thinking, well, was there 39 Kohans at the time? I don't know. But isn't it amazing that he would use that number in 2520, which matches today? And they're bringing everyone, okay, he says, all 39 of you are going to commit suicide the next thing you know because the house of Yahweh is responsible for that, you see? And they're bringing everyone who would think, who would follow Yahweh, just mention the name Yahweh, and you're among that group. You may be the last one on the tail end of the list. You may not be up there as high as we are now. You have to teach the whole law to get to the top of being hated by this world, the top being hated. You don't get up there by just merely using the name Yahweh, but teaching the whole law, this will bring you up to being the most hated in the world, as Yahshua said. Well, where did he say that? Let's go to Yochanan Mark 13:13. Yochanan Mark 13:13. Should be easy to remember, right? It's on page 775. It says, and you will be hated by all men for my name's sake, but he who will endure until the end, the same will be saved. And remember in Matthew 24:13, he said, he who endures to the end will be saved. Which brings us back to Hebrews 12:1, where Pastor said 13, Kohan Benjamin. Hebrews 12:1 talked about that endurance, right? Running this race. And it used the word endurance. By the way, turn over to Romans chapter 1 real quick. Haters of Yahweh. Haters of Yahweh. Turn over to Romans 1. Romans 1, and we're going to look at verse 29 and 30. It's on page, I can't see a page number through my stuff, 874. Verse 29, if you notice in verse 28, it says, Yahweh gave them over to a reprobate mind to do things which those things which are not proper, semicolon. Verse 29, if you'll count all these things here, haters of Yahweh is number 13 on that list. Haters of Yahweh. Haters of Yahweh, number 13 on that list. You will be hated above all people for my name's sake. My name, well, what's his name? Is Yahweh, right? And it adds to what? 26. Matithya, remember Yochanan Mark 13:13. 26, my name. You're going to be hated for my name's sake. Well, remember, are we not becoming little Yahwehs? Is that not what Yahweh's doing? Is he not building us into Yahwehs? But he's hated above us because they hated him first. Are you ashamed of being hated? You should be jumping for joy after this. Okay, now, I want to leave you with some hope. If I haven't gave you enough already, tomorrow's the 26th, and it's the 21st day of the Omar. 26 means Yahweh, remember this. The 21, the 777, is triple perfection. Is Yahweh not the standard of perfection? And we are now at slide 26. And the slideshow is completed. Praise Yahweh, all honor and glory to Yahweh. And keep these things in your mind. I'm not saying you might see something tomorrow or anything, right? Keep you looking up. Your redemption's drawing near. Keep coming to unity with Yahweh's house and Yahweh's priests and the priestesses. Keep working together. Consider one another. Love one another. Be in unity. And with this, I'd like to turn it over to the great Kohan Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. Of course, continuing in the news, we can see the world falling apart around us. First up, you'll notice that they're claiming cyber attacks now, cyber attacks among commercial airlines. One man who was on a flight to New York, well, he tweets out that he was able to hack into the landing system of the plane. And once he got to the airport and goes home, well, guess who shows up at his house? Well, it's the FBI, of course, coming to talk to him. Now, how did they know where he lived? Through his phone. They can track your phone. They can follow you anywhere that they want to, and they did him. So he made this claim. The FBI shows up at his house and talks to him about it. But the vulnerability of these planes being able to be controlled due to the new Wi-Fi systems that have been put in the newer commercial airliners is widely being made known that these things are possible. And then earthquakes. There was a tremendous earthquake this morning, a 7.9 in Nepal, which is, of course, bordered. It's a country that lies between China and India, where the Himalayas are at. And right now, at last count, there's over 870 dead. So violent, eight-story buildings were collapsing. Now, these earthquakes are growing, and studies are showing by organizations who keep up with these details that since 1979, violent earthquakes have more than doubled. In Oklahoma alone, which is the number one earthquake state in the United States, formerly California, Oklahoma, in the mid-2000s, earthquakes were around 4 a year. They're expecting 870 this year. That's what the outlook is, 870. Now, what a drastic rise in these last days. They're saying the earth moves millions of times a year, and that's natural. These fault lines, they call them in construction, would be expansion joints. But they said now these expansion joints are violently catching and shaking. So there's something going on, there's something wrong, but they can't explain it. And then of course, for all of you that live in Abilene, we have some information to pass on to you about the local crime that has went up. Many of you may know last week in 24 hours, there were two murders in Abilene and another third attempted murder. And in the last 12 months, there have been 8 murders alone in Abilene. And the police chief is telling everyone that these crimes, not to worry if you live here, because these aren't stranger crimes. In other words, it's not someone killing you that you don't know. It's not a stranger. It's someone you know. So you should find comfort in that. Search hard. Search hard. But the thing about it is, we have the answers, and we would gladly help anyone in Abilene that would like to help. Absolutely. Then also, bird flu is going through the United States. 12 states now have it. Their hatcheries being shut down. One man alone losing 5.5 million birds. 5.5 million birds due to this bird flu. And what do you think they're going to do with those 5.5 million birds? Be careful what you eat. Know where you're getting it from. Of course, they're going to get rid of them, but how? That's a lot of money. So pay close attention to that, because they say that this strain has not affected the human system yet, or not quite yet. So pay close attention, because it could. Then also going over to Yemen, of course, Yemen being bombed by Saudi Arabia, Iran trying to send in what they're calling supplies, the United States is calling it weaponry. Now, look at Yemen, who is a country whose air force is made up from donated jets that are poorly maintained. Now, imagine if you're being bombed by fighter jets that are 38,000 plus feet in the sky, what can someone possibly send you on a ship to fight that, if they're dropping it off to you? So keep in mind and watch these things. A lot of propaganda being made, but a lot of head-to-head going forth. The United States immediately sent out the Theodore Roosevelt warship to confront the Iranians, and they let the Iranians know that any ship they tried to get into the Yemen waters would be ported by the United States, and they would be gone through, they would be examined by the United States. So look at the tyrannical control that's kind of taking place there, and remember who rules as a tyrant. Remember where that tyranny come from. And also Ukraine now, soldiers being trained by the United States. Russia is asking for it to stop. The United States is saying, of course, we're not doing it, but evidence is showing it is being done. And then it leads up also to a man being arrested in Baltimore. And look at the hatred that's shown toward people in general by a system. A man was arrested in Baltimore. He was placed in handcuffs and also leg chains, put in the back of a transport wagon. And by the time he reached the police department, they had to call the paramedics. He died. And upon an autopsy, they discovered his spinal cord was almost completely severed due to a ride in a wagon. Now you can imagine what kind of ride he got with his hands bound, his legs bound, and in no seatbelt, which was required for them to do. He didn't get that. And so think about how that love has grown cold, how that love has grown cold indeed. And it's going to end with the Vatican are worried they're going to be attacked. No protection there. God's still asleep. At this time, if we could go ahead and play the news. At this time, if everyone would please stand, I'd like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Come on now, let's hear it now. Yahweh, make them cheer. Yahweh heard that. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The things that you saw there on the news, man, this is really great. The last part there is the Vatican getting worried. Afraid they're going to be burned. You know where they got that message. They got that message. They never read the Bible, you know. And of course, we brought it to them. And you're going to see a lot of this. You're going to see a lot of this, not only in this, but in business. Now, pay close attention to what I'm going to read you here. You saw the news. You saw Yeshua said there was going to be the worst national, unnatural disasters. That word earthquakes, that we translated earthquakes, it actually means any unnatural disaster such as hurricanes and so forth. I know if you've seen any news at all, you've seen the amount of the hundreds of tornadoes and hail damage, you know, like Abilene received $400 million in hail damage from because their preacher put a sign out in front praying for rain, and their God didn't know the difference in rain and hail. I guess he sent hail. He didn't send much rain, but hail. But the fact is, the house of Yahweh is taking this message of the kingdom. And I hoped you got that last week and about the kingdom, but I'm going to rehearse it because I know you didn't. But we ourselves are running a race. We are the kingdom of Yahweh that is being led by Yeshua, the very first to make it into the kingdom of Yahweh. Even though it was promised long before this. I'm getting ahead of myself here. The armed forces would not be necessary if biblical laws were followed, says Yisrael Hawkins. Now, this right here, the total headlines, when they called me this morning on this, the total headlines were 56,538. Just for curiosity, I called them 3 hours later, and it came up 3,000 in that 3 hours. So it's coming up about 1,000 an hour on this. That doesn't seem like many with the big numbers that I've given you here lately, but it is. And this is how it makes a difference. They listed me four. They gave me just four of the 56,538. They listed four. One of them, this should ring a bell to you, is Bloomberg. Bloomberg. Now, if you remember, let me show you a picture of him. I think I got one here for you. Y'all ought to recognize this guy. Bloomberg, New York, New York. Mayor, New York, okay. Bloomberg, born February 14th, 1942. He's 8 years younger than me, I do believe. Is an American business magnate, politician, and philharmonist. He served as the 108th mayor of New York, building office for three consecutive terms, beginning with the first election 2001, with a net worth of $36 billion. I can't even imagine that much money, but $36 billion. He is the 10th richest person in the United States and the 13th wealthiest in the world. Now, his religion is Reform Judaism, which sits on the Seven Hills of Rome, of course. Now, this Reform Judaism, you know, they started out, now listen to me again, they started out as the elders of Israel. And of course, Yahweh says, I will make you a kingdom of priests. If you will do this, if you will keep my laws, my statutes, and my judgments strictly, keep them. Well, of course, they didn't. Yahweh found fault with them, and they didn't keep them. Well, they went from that to being called the priest of the temple. They persecuted Yahweh's prophets and all down through the centuries, trying to wipe them out, trying to get them to stop preaching in the name of Yahweh. They would not keep the laws. The laws were given unto them by Moshe. Yahweh gave them the laws through Moshe and said, if you will keep these, you will be a kingdom of priests unto me. But they would not keep them. They rose up against Samuel as elders of Israel. Now, they came down to Daniel's time, and you remember what they did to him. Well, they were, at that time, their kings now were fighting wars, they were taking captives, all of them trying to build a kingdom. And out of this mess comes four great world ruling kingdoms, last being a combination, the fourth kingdom being a combination of four kingdoms put together, all their powers combined with one spokesman, which turns out now to be a pope. They call him pope now. They used to call him the chief priest. That's what, if you remember, the apostle Shaul went to the chief priest and got permission to go out and raid these cities and bring back Yahweh worshipers to be judged, and he would cast his lot against them at the death. At the ones they put to death, the others were sent to Rome and, of course, Babylon. Well, this right here, it shows now who's interested in these articles the most. And this is one of them, Bloomberg Corporation, the Bloomberg family, the rich people that Malachi Martin spoke of that could throw out millions of dollars or billions of dollars, and they could say what nation stands and what nations fall. Now, you've got to keep this in mind to understand what we've got to learn in the next few weeks here concerning what's going on in today's world. Why would they be interested in the House of Yahweh articles? They are terribly interested. It's probably mostly to make money, because we have foretold the future. The Catholic, the Vatican's were not worried about anything hurting their city because they had They have allies, big allies that take care of them. They have the best armies in the world to take care of them, including the United States. But now they're saying, all of a sudden, they're scared. Why? Because I told them they're going to burn. That's the reason. If they'd have read Revelation 17 and 18 and 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, they would know that this is speaking of them. But they put that aside and they read the Gospels, as they call it, the Gospels that was written by dead rabbis and dead priests. The ones that Yeshua said, your traditions that you have brought down. Your traditions that you have brought down. You've made void the laws and the prophets by your traditions. And this is what they read. And when the Pope speaks of the Gospels, he's not speaking of the writings of Yeshua. If he was, he would repent, and as the disciples told him to in Acts 19. But he's speaking of their own writings that they write, and they put it in as if it is holy writings. Are we not all holy? Who said that? Do you remember that? The Korites, remember? Okay, well, the Bloombergs now, and many others, like Yahoo Finance. What would a financial corporation be seeking or so interested in what the house of Yahweh puts out? The Bloomberg Corporation reaches, they have, this is their attendance. We have 56,000 of these right now that's seeking our material. They're even wanting more. They're wanting shorter articles, to the point articles, but they're wanting articles from us. Yes. Well, this one, now there's 56,000 of these news agencies. The Bloomberg Corporation has 7,786,647 audience. So you multiply that by 56,000. Now that's only one news agency that is wanting this material and put it out there for their people to read. Their people probably wouldn't pick up an Abilene Reporter News. They're not interested in that kind of stuff. They're interested in mega bucks. And when I said hurt not the oil and the wine, that got their attention and they wanted to know more. And of course they're seeking this, and they got people watching. Right now they got 7 million of them watching to see where they can make more money, but then they will get interested in other things too. Yahoo has 55 million audience. 55 million audience. Multiply that by 56,000. And you got one huge number. Reuters has 28 million audience. MarketWatch, another financial institution, MarketWatch has 22 million audiences. So you can see that we are doing our job. We're reaching these people. And of course, the Pope is worried because we hit it right on the nose. They learned, if they look up the history, they learned that we predicted the 7-year peace treaty before it was signed. Several years before it was signed, and told who would sign it, and then what would take place with it. And over the years now, I've brought much, much more in different places. I brought some about Yana, and I left you hanging last week, and somebody got wise, and they went to YisraelSays.com. And they found it, they said, in 7 minutes. Well, they found part of it, but there's a lot more to it than what I brought out at that time. But it'll amaze you what all stands behind this one man and his prophecies. But what I wanted you to see is Matthew 24 and verse 14. Matthew 24 and verse 14, and notice what the Savior here is saying. I'll let everybody get that scripture. I know you know it, but you really don't. And you've got to remember all these things in order to understand what the Savior is saying here in this simple verse when he says, and this message of the kingdom, this message of the kingdom, not a kingdom. Now, of course, the Catholic Church, they say, we have the keys to this blood. So we are the kingdom of, but they don't say Yahweh. And of course, the gods can't give this information because they don't understand it. And they didn't when they died. They're still without understanding, and now they know nothing. They know less than they did when they were bringing forth the handouts. They said they heard Moses say this, so they're just handing it down to us now. Well, it kind of got lost along with the brain power down through the centuries, but this was the kingdom that they formed, and it's now on the seven hills of Rome, and they're still in ignorance concerning the future. The kingdom that Yeshua is talking about here, he's talking about a certain kingdom. And if you'll keep that in mind, then keep in mind what he says in Matthew 6. Turn there, Matthew 6, and message of the kingdom. It's going to be preached in all the world in the last generation. Remember? That's what Matthew 24 shows. Matthew 24 shows us in verse 14, this message of the kingdom is going to be preached in all the world, then the end will come. And Yeshua says that's the last generation. So it's got to be preached, this message of the kingdom. Yeshua was the first to make it into the kingdom. There hasn't been any others make it. He's high priest over the start of this kingdom that was promised to our ancestors, those who left the house, those who rebelled against Moshe, saying, oh, are we not all holy? Can't we just make up our own mind what is right? What is righteousness? But see, the Savior said in 6:33, he said, seek you first the kingdom of Yahweh. So this is a message about a kingdom that Yahweh said to our ancestors thousands of years ago, keep my laws, statutes, and judgments, and I will make unto you a kingdom. I will make of you a kingdom. And then he had already told them before that, he had already told them, here's the way it's going to come about. You remember where he told them that? Much earlier now than Samuel. Genesis 49. This is the way this kingdom is going to come about. Through Abraham and his seed, and the person who gets this scepter, it's going to be a scepter of righteousness, like the order of Melchizedek. Find his genealogy for me right quick in your keys of this blood book. It's not there. Melchizedek, a righteous priest, and the scepter of righteousness was made on the order, which Yeshua is the image, made on the order of Melchizedek, who was a righteous priest, and he is also a righteous king. But Yeshua was the first one to make it. There's been no others. He's sitting at the right hand of Yahweh right now until his enemies be made his footstool. We're going to be the first of all who have lived to enter that kingdom and to receive the authority to raise the dead. And we will raise the dead of all of those who died before this generation. Eventually, we will. We'll raise the dead quickly of those who actually qualified for the kingdom. None of them made it. None of them made it. Only Yahshua made it. He's sitting right now as high priest over the house of Yahweh in this generation. And it was us he was talking to in Matthew 24:14 when he said, and the message of this kingdom is going to be preached by whom? By the last day's witness, who Yahweh said, called the branch, and said he and Yahshua would rule together, yes, with the house of Yahweh, a small remnant, he says, working to bring this work forward. So we're all working together with Yahshua, in unity with Yahshua, to bring forth this kingdom of unity. Got to be unity. It won't last. It'd be like the Catholic Church. Well, let's just worship all gods. Aren't we all holy? Can't we all do our thing and then still work together? Well, they're working together and they've formed many, many enemies, as you can see what is forming there now. But the fight that I wanted you to see, it's not made so clearly here, but it will be in the coming weeks of these films and the news. But to show you the fight is the oil and the wine, the riches, the mega bucks that made the Bloombergs and a lot of other mega corporations with mega dollars. He was the 13th richest. But think about those that are richer than him, and look at the billions of dollars he's worth right now, and think about he's 13 on the list or something like that. That pushes him on down quite a ways. Well, now in that was the message of the kingdom, and Yahshua says the kingdom in Matthew. Matthew, don't get behind now, stay with me. Matthew 6:33, seek you first the kingdom of Yahweh. So we know this is a kingdom of Yahweh that he's speaking of here, that this message is going to be brought in the last generation. Well, the last generation, remember, Yahweh says, in the last days, I will establish, are you listening? Did you get anything I said when you was playing with that pen? Now get your mind on your work, okay? Get it on that scripture. Read it. Read it right now. 6:33. Matthew 6:33. But seek you first the kingdom of Yahweh. You remember Genesis? You remember Genesis 3 and verse 5? Be evil like the gods. Did Yahweh say to do this? Don't do that. You're passing up all the fun. Remember Genesis 3:5? Be like the gods, evil. Don't be in unity with Yahweh. Don't humble yourself to Abel. Abel is just feeding you a bunch of baloney. Abel was the one that was teaching this that day. Yes. He was trying to get them to wake up and understand what the kingdom of Yahweh was. And Yahweh showed you the other kingdom of the gods, and what did you see with Cain? Why are you so angry, Cain? You see the contrast between the two kingdoms here? What do you see when you turn that news on and see the world? It's war, fighting, hatred. Three homicides in a small town like Abilene in one weekend, and the chief of police saying, lock your valuables up, take them with you, don't leave them at home. We don't have time to work these home burglaries. We don't have time to work car burglaries. Don't leave them in your car. Put them in the bank. Well, the bank was robbed right here in Clyde. Not only that one, but there's two robbed this week that I heard of. I don't know how many of them got robbed, but one of them, they took a a bit that drills through concrete, and they drill through what looked like on Scott Pelley's show, a 4 foot thick concrete wall, and they built a hole that they could crawl through, take their money out of it, gobs and gobs of money, and leave without getting caught. I don't know if they've caught the man that robbed the Clyde Bank here or not. But where you keep your valuables? Well, the chief of police said, we don't have time to work car burglaries. We don't have time to work house burglaries. We're too busy working more important killings that are taking place. Homicides in Abilene. When I came to Abilene, it was just a wide place in the road, by the way, in the 70s. And of course, it started to prosper. And now, due to their prosperity, they have big mega problems because their three universities is saying, oh yeah, it's okay. Pass up what Yahweh says. Do the evil of the gods. And we'll cover it up. We'll cover it up. When the women get raped in the dormitories, we'll see to it they don't file charges on the football players because we want them out there bringing in the mega bucks. This is what's going on in today's society. Boys get raped, that's the same. We'll protect our priests. Go ahead, have fun. But don't keep the laws of Yahweh. That's what Satan, that's the kingdom that is ruling this world today. The Catholic, Roman Catholic murderers that have been murderers down through the centuries, killing, persecuting the prophets. Then when it's called Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians, they were still persecuting the prophets and killed Yochanan for saying, it's not right for you to do this. It's not right for you to commit adultery. Do you hear the preachers telling them that today? Nobody but the house of Yahweh. I will establish my house in the last days, and it will bring my message to the people, my laws and my prophecies. And then Yahshua said, this message of this kingdom of Yahweh would be preached in all the world in this generation. How could he possibly know that? How could he know that the earthquakes is going to be the worst ever in history? You just saw it on the news. Earthquakes, the worst ever in history. How would he know that the tornadoes is going to be the worst ever in history? How would he know that the worst famines was going to be the worst in history in this generation? No, not just some generation, but no, this generation, when the message of the kingdom of Yahweh is being preached. How could he possibly have known that? Try telling me what you're going to do tomorrow. Try telling me what's going to happen in the world or in Abilene tonight. You can't. It's impossible. But Yahweh can. And this is what Yahshua was saying in this time period. After 70 CE, a few years after 70 CE, the house of Yahweh was wiped out. And it didn't exist anymore at all. The Apostle Kepha was the last one that had his name, I think, on the over his door saying house of Yahweh. And he was condemning them, the ones who had the laws given unto them and then would not keep them. And he said, you're like a bunch of hogs who waller in your own mire. You're like a bunch of dogs who eat their own vomit. This is what you are. That's what Kepha was saying to them. And they say, oh, he is the first pope. I don't hear any popes teaching things like that today, do you? They're teaching rabbits to lay colored eggs. They're teaching to worship the dead, memorials to the dead. They're teaching eat swine's flesh. Eat swine's flesh. There's a bunch more to that you need too. And in this same sermon here, a bunch. I would I could cover this all in one day. Let's cover a couple more points here. Let's go back over now to Isaiah 9, but remember what the Savior here said. and pay close attention to these scriptures. These scriptures you need, and you've got to know them or you can't believe them. In 9, chapter 9 of Isaiah. Now, verse 1, he says, "Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon those who were in distress, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun." Zebulun, you got to remember that name. Now, I brought quite a bit out on it before, and afterwards, more grievously, afflicted her by the way of the sea. Do you remember in Genesis 49? Genesis 49. Do you remember Zebulun? Do you remember where Yahweh actually said in Genesis 49 where the tribe of Zebulun that came out of the land of Egypt now, after staying there 400 years, you remember where they said that it would be? It would be located, Zebulun? Well, of course, I'll tell you now, but it's Galilee, where the Savior was, where the Savior actually did all of his work. But he told, how would he know? The person that wrote Genesis 49, telling about these 12 tribes and exactly what they'd be in the last days, in the very last days, and then he tells where he's going to be settled, where this 12 tribes that would have the land divided to them after they came out of Egypt. They went down into Egypt and stayed 400 years, multiplied, got up in the millions of people. Something like 3 million people, I figure, come out of the land of Egypt. How do I know that? I'll tell you, since you asked. They had a certain amount of soldier boys at the age of so-and-so and so-and-so. Now, those who know how to run a calculator, and I enlisted a little help in this, but to have that many people, that many soldiers at the age of so-and-so, there'd have to be over 3 million married families. That's how I know it. If there'd have been any less, there'd have been less soldiers. Okay. And now notice he says Zebulun and the land, and afterward more grievously afflicted by the way of the sea, by the way of the sea. This is talking about the Sea of Galilee, by the way. Beyond Jordan and in Galilee of the nations, the people who walk in darkness have seen great light. They who dwell in the land of a shadow of death, yes, they were being persecuted. All the time being persecuted by kings who was wanting them to join them and be a part of the Roman army. The roving army, as it was called then. Upon them the light has shined. Light? How could you know what light is unless you know another scripture that goes with it? Now look on down to verse 6. These people of Zebulun, for unto us a child is born. And remember where Zebulun, where he was said, in Genesis 49, where Zebulun would actually receive by lot. They cast lots to see where Zebulun would be located, and it was in that land. The land of Zebulun took in the land where Yahshua did his work, where he was born. Yes. And Yahweh said, here's a prophecy now of Yahshua. He wasn't born yet. This prophecy here was written. I can't remember exactly. Let me look. Isaiah. This prophecy here was written in 787. You know when Yana was written? You know when Yana lived? Yana probably taught Isaiah. Yana, the prophet Yana. He had a house of Yahweh, a mighty house of Yahweh. How do I know that? Maybe in the next sermon. But brethren, I want you to know and keep in mind, you got to get all of this. You got to get it in your head. We don't have long. And the more you put to this, the more effort you put to learning this and what you're serving, what your goal is here, the race we're running, we're going to win this race. With this kingdom of Yahweh is picking away at the kingdom of the gods right now. The kingdom of the gods is going down. It's getting worse every day. Rome is now getting scared, which means they're probably going to try to build that temple real quickly and move to Jerusalem because it doesn't show it being burned. That might be one way they're going to hurry and get out of Rome. They're going to bring all them treasures back to Jerusalem where they stole them from to begin with. They really had no rights at all to do what they did in 70 CE when they sent Titus to destroy the temple and where he said it actually accidentally somebody shot an arrow on fire and it went through a window and burned all them big old stones, 19 foot long stones, burn them to the ground. Did you ever try to burn a stone? You see what kind of stupidity they want you to believe? But there wasn't left one upon another that was not thrown down. And those stones were made, they were 19 foot long, and I believe they were 4 foot wide, and 4 by 4 by 19, I do believe. That's by memory, it could be bigger than that. but we know that they were huge stones, and we know you can't burn them. Even by pouring gasoline and oil, which we have today, you know, the fossil fuel, another lie, but anyway, it burns. The world is full of lies, but truth we're bringing forth from the house of Yahweh. And this truth, this light, we'll start off with that maybe next week, but the light that Zebulun received was coming from a house of Yahweh. Zebulun coming? Yes, it's coming from a house of Yahweh. Well, where was it operating from at that time? Well, we'll see next week. Yahweh bless you. Don't forget to look in Yahweh Yisrael Says.com. Look in that program and give what you can. Study it. Yes, please. You'll learn the program because this stuff I'm bringing now will be in that same program very soon. We're gonna try to stay ahead of the printing with it and get it in this program where you can actually look it up from this program and maybe by the Feast of Tabernacles, this that I'm bringing this week will be in that Yisrael Says program. Get it and go to work on it. Learn to operate it. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services to the next speaker. I love you!